Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. As we come this morning, this is our celebration of Black History Month, and we're especially grateful this morning to have And I never get these in the right order. The Reverend Major Charles Deo Gratias, or my friend Charles. Charles, people often confuse us as if we're brothers, but we're not. Brothers from different mothers and different continents. Charles and I go back to the 1990s when we were presbytery mates together in the Presbytery of Barrie. And then I moved away, and then Charles joined the Canadian Armed Forces. And then I moved to New Brunswick, and Charles was stationed at CFB Gagetown, so we were presbytery mates again for a while we were in New Brunswick together. And then Charles was posted, and then I moved away. And then about a year or so ago, this wandering puppy came into the church who was just getting ready to retire from the Canadian Armed Forces and come to Cornwall, and he was wondering who the minister at the Presbyterian Church was. Boy, did he get a surprise. Regardless of his best efforts, he has not been able to avoid me. So we're pleased to have Charles with us this morning. Charles, as I mentioned, is a minister of our denomination. He served for 21 years as a chaplain in the Canadian Forces, serving in Gagetown, Quebec City, Saint-Jean, Quebec, back to Gagetown, 3 years with the American Navy, and then back to Kingston for his final posting. So, and along the way, and I think this is true, Charles, you are the only minister I know who has wrestled a lion, delivered a baby, and sailed the seven seas. All of those stories are true. So we're thrilled to have Charles with us, and Hyacinter, who is Charles's wife, and she will be sharing the children's time with us this morning, so very excited to hear from her as well. A few announcements before we begin. Next week will be the annual congregational meeting, so please plan to stay for a time of, there'll be a brief lunch in between, and then we will move into the annual meeting next Sunday following worship. Annual reports are available in the McClellan Room, and I don't know if they're out on the table downstairs, but there are some in the office as well if we run out up here. So please make sure you grab one along the way. Next Sunday, I will be in Winnipeg, because there's no place nicer than Winnipeg in March to celebrate with my in-law family, with our mother-in-law, my mother-in-law's anniversary, Colleen's mom's birthday, pardon me. So I won't be with you, but Alex will ably fill the spot here in leadership and worship next Sunday. Bible study will continue to meet. I think I deleted that slide out of the slide deck, but we will be here on Wednesday night, so members of the Bible study, please make note of that. And finally, we mark the passing of Lise Morneau, who is the sister of Hubert Séguin. She passed away on Friday, I believe. And we also mark the passing of Yvonne Willard, a member of our congregation. And we extend the sympathies of the congregation to both of those families. As we come into the presence of our Lord, we light the Christ candle of a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek to walk in his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say to him and share the call to worship. The world belongs to the Lord.
The earth and all its people.
How good and lovely it is to live together in unity. Love and faith come together. justice, and peace join hands. If the Lord's disciples keep silent, these stones would shout aloud, Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. God of grace, you alone are trustworthy and true. We give you thanks for your abiding presence with your people in each and every circumstance of life. You alone have been their companion and guide. As you guided them, so too guide our steps, that we may grow deeper in faith and love. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. We begin our worship this morning with a hymn. We've sung it at least once before. It's a hymn that comes to us from the church in Kenya, and we sing the words, Here on Jesus Christ I stand. This hymn will appear before you on the screens. Please be seated. Friends, our God is faithful and just, and more eager to forgive than we are to confess our sin. Acknowledging our faith that God alone can make us new, let us come now seeking God's helping and healing as we confess our sins, saying together the prayer as it appears before us. Almighty and gracious God, you give us every reason to have confidence in you. Still, we are burdened by questions. Where are you calling us to go? From whence will our help come? How can your promise be fulfilled? Patient God, we confess our fear and lack of faith in you. We admit our confusion and resistance to your teaching. Open our minds, O God, and open our hearts that we may know you are faithful and trust your gracious care for us. Amen. Friends, God rejoices when we repent and return, offering us finest wheat and honey from the rock to sustain us in new life. Rejoice and be glad, for you have been reconciled to God and to one another. With joy, seek the honor of God's service. Amen. And we continue in praise as we sing hymn 708 in the book of praise. When Israel was in Egypt land, number 708, or as the words appear before you on the screens. Thank you, Dan. You've read my mind. And if Hyacinter would like to come forward, Hyacinter is going to share the children's time with us this morning, time with young and young at heart. And I have microphone for you.
Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, so I have to imagine you as a little kid. first of all, I'm glad to be here. And it was a delight to hear your minister, Robert, tell how we met. And his sense of humor is just amazing. Also, it was fascinating to hear what he remembers about, you know, us, where we met, how far we've gone and come back. Sometimes we just live a life, you know, from one thing to another, but, you know, it's fascinating when somebody else is looking at you and giving you feedback. So we are glad that where we went and we finally came home, no matter where we went, obviously, finding a familiar face, finding somebody we've lived together, serving God in a ministry in this town, it was already a sign. It's like, okay, we are home even here. So back to our children's story. we were invited to celebrate with you Black History Month. I am not here to give you a lecture about Black History Month, but in reflecting what does really mean, at least to me, it means a time to remind ourselves that we are one people, that we are God's children, that we are created in His image, and we are to love one another. That's what I see this celebration means to me, a Black History Month. So in that spirit, sometimes we can meet challenges, and challenges to really practice God's love for one another. And the story I had for to share with my children, with the children now, you, is when we first came to Canada, we lived in a small town. And at that time, we had, God gave us two children. We have two children, a daughter and a son, same age as your minister's kids, actually, Corinne and Robert's children at the same age. So anyway, at that time, as we all do, parents want to teach our children their made in God's image, the reflection of God's love, and we are to love one another, and you are special and important, wherever you are, you know, see yourself that way and practice that in your life and in your interaction with other people. So this little baby turned a kindergarten. Now, she went to school the first week, and one of the days she came home crying, big tears, she really crying, and she's, you know, not happy, and particularly not happy with me. She came and said, "Mommy, you lied to me, you lied to me, you lied to me." And I'm thinking, okay, what have I done? Oh, my goodness. A kindergartner crying that I lied to her. Okay, what did I do? What you know, what did I say that you found untruthful? She says to me, "Mommy, you've always been told me, you've been always telling me, I'm special, I'm special, I'm special in God's eyes, I'm special to people, I'm special." I said, "Yes, you are." She said, "No, you lied." I said, "Okay, how does that happen?"
The Bible
says. She says to me, "Not everybody thinks I'm special. I've been told this, and I've been told that, and I've been told that. And I have nobody to play with at school because they say my hair isn't this and my color isn't that, and it's not good, Mommy." And of course, I never expected that. I never heard of that before. We had just immigrated here. So anyhow, I had to sit down and explain to her that we are all special. We are all special no matter what said to you or what who else says to you. We are God's children, and we are loved so. She says, no, that's not what they tell me. But I say, okay, let me tell you. So I had to really find a way to explain and make it real to her. I said, remember when we go out and we see flowers? She says, yeah. I said, have you ever seen only one kind of, you know, flower? They are all different. She says, yeah. I said, well, some are tall, some are short, just they can go, roam the ground, and some are beautiful, and they smell, and some are this and that. I said, she said, yeah, I see that. I said, you know what? That's God's creation. He created all that, and together they are called flowers. If you go looking for flowers, I might ask you what kind of flowers you want. You know, what is kind of flowers you, you know. And she says, yeah. I said, that's how we are, God's children, practicing God's love. And it's according to God's word. So we are God's children. And some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are, you know, have a different skin tone, some of us have different cultures, some of us have speak different languages, but under the umbrella of people, God's creation, God's people, humanity, we are one. He loves us, He cares for us, and that's how that situation, I was able to bring it down to her level of understanding. So in celebration with you, Black History Month, I thought that's why I said, according to me, it's a time to reflect on our practice of God's love for one another, for creation, for our different, beliefs, different culture differences that makes us stronger together. So that was our kids' story for this morning. May God keep us unified, loving one another, and celebrating our differences in making His love eternal, permanent, and practical in our lives. Thank you. Back to you, Robert.
Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Giving and forgiving God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to illuminate our paths. We thank you for your word that guides us through all of life. Once more, speak to our hearts that your will for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart.
The second reading is a responsive psalm, Psalm 47. To the leader of the Korahites, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, Sing praises to our King.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
And let us sing hymn 670, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Hymn number 670.
Let's read the word of God from the book of Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord right head at your right hand. The sun shall strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you all evil. He will keep you from going out, your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. It is truly a privilege to be here and to share this incredible moment with you in this Black History Month, as they say. Robert and I got terribly far away. We were terribly young at this time, so we were terribly silly, and I don't think we were terribly good ministers, but we were okay, aren't we? And that's how it is. 28 years ago we met, actually, to say, and we had missed each other. I went to Knox College. I didn't stay too long like he did, but I think we were in the same vicinity, even though I think when we met in Berry, he had just finished the first charge. This was their second. So what a pleasure it is, Colleen, to see you as well, and to really meet all of you this morning as we share the gospel. Let us pray, shall we? Lord God, you are good to us. You have been, and so you are. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. So translate this mystery, this eternity into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was preaching at Richmond Hill Presbyterian Church years ago, and so I was terribly excited. Nothing has changed. I get excited and people don't hear nothing. But here's the deal. When I finished my sermon, I went out of the door. You know, I would do the same. That's what you do, Robert. I didn't know. I didn't ask him. And so people have given me all these praises, humdrum, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well done job and all this good stuff. So this one lady, she was about young, 70 years old. She comes to the door and she says, "Charles, I think your sermon was good." And then she says, "But your Scotch accent did not do it today." That's what I actually did. You know, she actually thought I had a Scottish accent, which, yeah, you know, there you go. This, I believe that this morning, my Scottish accent will not be in the way, because we're speaking this morning the word of God. Somebody said the word of God is the language of Jesus, and the language of Jesus is the language of love, and everyone can hear it. My sermon title this morning is Life is a Journey. Life is a journey full of questions that will never have answers. Questions. And boy, don't we all have them. Questions. Why me? Why us? Why this and why that and when and what and all of that? And the psalmist asked the question for us. So he says, "Where? I looked up to the mountain. I looked up there. And I saw nothing." Maybe he saw danger. Whatever he saw was creating this feeling of anxiety in him. There was a sense of hopelessness and maybe helplessness. Where will my help come from? Where? Well, my wife and I know this to be true, as to almost ask these questions, and we did from day go. I wrote a book, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Born to Die. Born to Die. My wife and I were born to die, and if we're alive, surprise, surprise. We were born in the refugee camp in Tanzania. Our parents had just been kicked out in 1959. The first civil war in Rwanda. We were from Rwanda originally. The first genocide happened to our families in 1959. And our parents exiled to Tanzania and others to Burundi, others to Congo, others to Uganda and Kenya. But in this place where my wife and I were born, you could not help but ask the question, why us? Why? It was absolutely a place of despair. Hopelessness and helplessness roamed the jungle. We were in the space, in the place where you feel like everything in the universe, if there was one, including God, had abandoned you. And if God was alive, was there, he did not care. Why? Every day we woke up, something was there to devour us. Think about that. Every day. Whether it would be the animals in the jungle, the lions. I actually fought the lions. This is a fact. I saved my father from being killed by a lion. But I killed a cow. You can read in my book if you ever had a chance. That's called Born to Die. If we went to the river, there would be crocodiles. If you blink and the kid were fetching water because they had to, you blink, the crocodile would pick you up and take your leg, and did for many of the kids. Our parents prayed every day. They prayed that we would come back. And it's true when we went to the river to fetch water or we went to fetch firewood. So you come, it's funny. You come back, we came back. And here's a paradox. We came back, some of us. But then you'd think our parents were this cruel. And then they sent us back. They sent us back. Absolutely. Telling us the beasts are an integral part of you. Do not be afraid. Why? Why us? There was water was scarce. We had 2 hours to walk to fetch water and a bucket on your head. There was no food. There was a lot of malaria and there was a lot of diseases. We were absolutely attacked whichever way we turned. Why? So, for 20 years, my wife was younger, but I lived for 20 years in the refugee camp. She left, you know, at maybe at 15, but 20 years, in this place of despair, learning, almost running for your life, learning anything under the tree. Why? Why us? You ask those questions. Where is God? The psalmist asks, and so I ask, where? Where is God? Where is goodness? Where anything? And for us, for our sake, as the children, where is food? Where is food? Maybe you're asking a question as well. This morning, just like us, depends on what has happened or is happening in your circumstance. Maybe you are asking the question, why cancer? Why would my family be affected and be attacked by this and that? Why? Questions are a part of human life, and they have no answers. In fact, you know, you're asking the question, my wife, just to continue our study, we just came back from Rwanda 2 months ago. Her sister today, 2 months today, she died of cancer at the age of 59. We just came back to bury her. My wife's sister, Mary, had just started an incredible organization looking after elders who are homeless in her own home. Her and her husband, they had just retired from the Church of Ireland in Northern Ireland. For 24 years, they served in Northern Ireland in the Anglican Church. They just went back to Rwanda and they wanted to help, and she had five elders, in fact. Most of them, of course, were dying because she was helping them to die with a dignity. That was the point. But just cancer just came like that. Why? Questions. This sense of humanity we go through that seems to have questions, no answers, has helpless and sometimes hopelessness looms deep. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true, isn't it? Like the psalmist, we continue to ask the questions. Nobody told us how long the psalmist stared at the mountain with the sense, where would my help come from? Where is God? Where is it? Where? This could have been a lifetime. He was wondering, in this sense of feeling so much lost and nothing, and of course mountains look empty. It reminds me when I was in Afghanistan, standing with the soldiers. We had just lost 6 soldiers in Kandahar. They had just been killed, 6 Canadians. And we were at a ramp ceremony in Kandahar airfield. We were doing a ceremony to send them home. And between this place where you sit, we are in Kandahar, in the front of us there, these huge mountains. If you have never been to Afghanistan, you don't know, big mountains around us. And as I was looking, as we were doing the ceremony, because the aircraft in front of us, this, we are here with all the nations of the world at the tarmac in the airport in Kandahar airfield, and all our soldiers are ready to send the heroes home. We're praying, and I was looking up. I looked up there, and the mountains were just so naked. It felt empty. If you had dead people in front of you, everything is empty, isn't it? You feel powerless. Because death is like a monster that hangs in front of us, ready to attack. Until you feel we would call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. That was not easy. What questions are you asking this morning, and why? Ladies and gentlemen, keep on asking them. What a life is full of questions. It's full of nothing else but questions and struggles and calamities and crises, death and otherwise. Life is not only a journey full of questions, but also life is a journey of hope. Hope. This morning, literally, can I move away a little bit?
You're good.
This morning, my wife and I could tell you that it's an incredible privilege. It's an incredible privilege to be here. It's an incredible privilege to be alive. Your life. I don't know about you. Hope comes in the morning. The psalmist would say in words, now come to his senses. He's somehow, something has just happened. He says, wait a minute. my help. Are you joking? My hope, my strength, my everything comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. For us, mercy found us, and grace visited us. Not only did we survive, but we landed here. And when we got here, ladies and gentlemen, it's like God gave us a chance and we made a choice. And the choice would be to join the Canadian Armed Forces to be able to participate in the black history. And the black history is a Canadian history. I don't know if you know that the first black chap served in the World War I. In the World War I, ladies and gentlemen. That is a little different, not so good part of Canadian history, but this was in the battalion. It's called the number 2 construction battalion, created out of Halifax. In the Maritimes, they say. And the chaplain was Reverend William White. He was the only commissioned officer serving with this black battalion because you couldn't serve with the whites. In fact, they were fighting to join the black men and women, men in this case, were fighting to join from all over Canada and U.S. to join, and they were denied because they said the war was a white men's war until they needed the black people. So these guys were formed in Halifax, and there was an incredible battalion, and they were sent through England, and they went to France, and their job, listen carefully, their job was to cut the woods, was to cut the trees and the forests, and then they would put the forest, they would shovel the timbers and every woods to the soldiers to be able to build the bridges. And then when they built the trenches, you put the timber and the logs so that the ground does not fall, and so many Canadians, men and women, were saved. If you ever go to France, I went there, right? I went to visit, you will see these trenches and the logs. When next time when you go there, you see them, here's the black people. Here's the black battalion was making this. It's like when black people go to the White House today. Say, wow, this was built by us. Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend White was their chaplain. If you go to the chaplain's school in Borden, they never say, you will never hear Reverend White, the first black chaplain in the World War I. You hear the only chaplain, his name is John Foote. Reverend John Foote, a Presbyterian who was a chaplain, a hero in the World War II. Not one. But you never would hear, just like you never hear this battalion. The black people have participated in every sense of the word to build this country and to be part of those who would defend freedom. We all enjoy. My wife and I, my wife is a soldier, in case she didn't tell you, I just served 21, I sent her served 20 years as a clerk, financial clerk, in the Canadian Armed Forces, as a soldier. We joined, so we made the choice. to join, to participate in the Canadian spirit, in the what I call the Black history, which is the Canadian history, to be able to stand with those who defend the freedom even with their lives. Hope is a sacrifice. It's not just a gift. It's not just grace. It's given to us, for others. It's given to us to give, to make our communities, our country, and our world a better place. What a privilege this is. Ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist would say, "My help comes from the Lord." And so when it comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, you know your hope is tied in your abilities and your capacity is tied to the limitless power, to the limitlessness power of God. So you can conquer anything. So you can do anything. Even when you feel so frail, isn't it? That's living your hope, the hope of salvation, the hope you're living your grace, the goodness that has been imparted upon you so that others can glimpse it and have this joy, this goodness, this mercy that you experience. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're here this morning. You join us, will you, to proclaim that it's good to be here. It's good to be alive, isn't it? It's good to be alive. And the hope of Christ, the one who has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. The one who has given us more than we can ever imagine. So, because he lives, we don't have to ask too many questions, to worry too much, because it happens and we have no control. But we can face tomorrow. Because why? Because Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave, and so he is alive. Can do it. And so connect this incredible power of the God of the universe. We join the psalmist to believe that this one, he does not work 24/7 and stop, rather from morning 8 to 5, he works 24/7. He is 24 hours in business of looking after his children and walking along with them. And so because he walks with us, because it's always who is with you. Who is with you? It's the one who does not slumber nor sleep. So my wife and I put our lives online. Imagine from Africa, we must be crazy. You just came from a dungeon, we were going to this one. And my kids were terribly worried when I went to Afghanistan because we lost so many, and many of them died in front of me, and I picked them up, both the dead and the wounded. That's not just a nice story. And our lives could be snatched just like that. But there we were. Hope is a sacrifice. It's working with the one who has the ultimate power, and so you have nothing to fear. Fear not. His life was never in your hands. It's a journey full of questions, but it's a journey of hope. But even all of that is not in your hands. So we give it. We give it to the glory of his name. Glory of his name. Life is a choice, isn't it? When chance has been given to you, when opportunity has been given to you, when grace has been given to you, then you make a choice. And I'm glad you made a choice to be here this morning. How about that? Aren't you glad you're members of this church? Because of you, a lot of great things have happened here, and they will not stop. Not stop. Praise the Lord. They will not stop. Life is a choice. Let me conclude with the African story. When I was young in the jungle, we had cows. One was killed by a lion. My father was saved, so that's better. But my mother and our family would collect cow dung. So cow dung was, of course, just like you do. It's a fertilizer. That's like, what do you call that?
Manure.
Manure. Thank you. That's a good one. Life. Almost, I would say it's like manure, but don't quote me too fast now, will you? So they will pile this manure. Thank you, Robert. That's a fantastic. They will pile this manure outside the fence, the little fence. So this pile of manure, if you come in Africa, we do not plant flowers, it's the birds. So you find in this manure, there's rain, eh? The birds are in there, they are picking up worms, they are eating everything for their life, for their good. But at the same time, they are pooping in there. When you come 1 week later, couple of weeks, let's come, you find these beautiful flowers growing in the manure. It's beautiful roses. My wife would say different colors, how about that? Ladies and gentlemen, when you approach the two, you have a choice to make. You can either smell manure or you can smell roses. This morning, my wife and I hope you too, we choose to smell roses in the grace of the goodness of the one who the psalmist would say, who knows you're coming in and you're going out, who knows you, us, from the womb to the tomb. If I was going to sing, I can't get a tune in the bucket. But Robert, how did we forget that hymn? In the garden. Do you remember that hymn? And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Could you say that again? And he talks.
He talks with me,
and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there,
none other has ever known.
Amen. May God bless you now and always. In Jesus' name.
Charles, thank you for bringing God's word this morning.
Thank you.
I always love to listen to Charles preach because he's so different from me. And I always feel that I have grown in faith as a result of his word. So thank you. Friends, God gives us more grace than we can ever earn. With a spirit of generosity, let us therefore freely give out of ourselves and our gifts for the sake of the world. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for your faithfulness to us. We give you thanks for your hope in us. We rejoice in the knowledge of your unending grace. In the light of your mercy and confident in your love, we dedicate these offerings and ourselves to you, that we might be good news to the world. Amen. Once more, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, you are the source of hope for all who place their trust in you and our unshakable protection in times of trial. Hear our prayers and praise this day and touch all those who are in need. We give you thanks, O God, for the Church of Jesus Christ, where all God's children can be as one. We thank you for your wisdom and your joy that dwells in us. Each day, may we grow deeper in faith and broader in our desire to share the gospel with friends and neighbors alike, that they too might express the joy of knowing you and of being known by you. We celebrate Black History Month this morning, and we give you thanks that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Who can fully comprehend the mystery of your creation? You created all people in your image. We thank you for the astonishing variety of races and cultures in this world. Enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of friendship and show us your presence in those who differ most from us, until our knowledge of your love is made perfect in our love for all your children. We pray for those countries and people around the world who live in conflict. Protect the innocent, we pray, as they face the struggle to find shelter and food in difficult circumstances. And change the minds of leaders that they may learn more, know more, and that your peace may reign. We pray this day for all those who are troubled, those who are sin-sick or burdened with worry and unease. Especially we pray for those who are ill, those who are in hospital, and those who are awaiting tests or their results. May they know your loving, healing presence and the assurance that you watch over all things. We pray that you will be with those who mourn the death of those who are dear to them. And especially today, we pray for the families of Lise Martineau and Yvonne Willard as they entrust their loved ones to your eternal care. Hold us all in the fellowship of the saints who have gone before us until your kingdom comes and suffering and death will be no more. Until that day, keep us diligent in prayer in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 324 in the Book of Praise. Great is thy faithfulness. The words are at 324 or as they appear before you on the screen. close the service, a reminder that there is coffee and snacks after worship this morning. So do plan to stay and have a time of fellowship with each other and a chance to meet and speak with Charles and Hyacinth. We're once more pleased for their presence here today. And now, let us go out into the world confident in the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.